Welcome to People Power and Politics, our talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a special guest, Mr. Robert E. Carnegie Jr., New York City Council member for the 36th District in Brooklyn and candidate for Brooklyn Borough President. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. We're going to be discussing responsible development in our communities. Mr. Carnegie?
So I'm currently the chair of Housing and Buildings, which has a very important role. Many people have complained about the uniform land use process, which is commonly referred to as ULURP, as not being community friendly and being more developer driven. I have the power to reform the ULURP process to make it more inclusive of the desires and the needs of communities as opposed to just being developer driven. And that's one of the legacy projects that I will leave in the city council is a reformed ULURP process. But responsible development is incredibly important to me. I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Where we have an opportunity to partner with responsible developers to get affordable housing, I think is quintessential. When we've relied solely on private developers to provide affordability, it's been a disaster. When we've relied solely on the government to provide affordable housing, it's been a disaster in our NYCHA developments, and you can see how that's happening. What we haven't done effectively is create a private-public partnership where there are entities. We did that in Bed-Stuy, where we have 100 units of 100% affordable senior housing on a NYCHA development property. So we know that it works when you bring together responsible developers and corporate sponsors and the government together, we can create affordability. And quite frankly, the borough president's office, many people talk about the fact that the borough president, or they assume that the borough president's office, because we don't have the same legislative or policy powers that the city council has, is that we don't have power. That's not true. We have close to $100 million in capital funding, plus the powers of zoning and land use to actually shape affordability in every corner of the borough. So the borough president has to be acutely aware, having worked in affordable housing or having worked in a capacity like the capacity that I'm currently in as the chair of Housing and Buildings, how to get the best for the most for the least. And I'm more suited, I'm more capable of doing that based on the chairmanship that I currently hold in Housing and Buildings. We've gotten more units of affordability in my district, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and it's still not enough. So for those who are listening, than anywhere else. We're actually on the pathway to creating the most affordable home ownership, because that's been a focus for me too, right? So we can't continue to demand deep affordability and don't provide a pathway for middle-class individuals to create home ownership. So that's also a priority for me that I'll continue at the borough president's office. Finding ways, we just inked the deal to do 45 three-family units in my district that are affordable at 80% AMI home ownership, not rentals, but actual home ownership where you have tenants who are paying below market and you actually begin to generate capital and equity within your home to build wealth and to transfer wealth. That's not present in any of the plans that the current administration has. That's a real plan for me to really put our hardworking men and women, especially Black and immigrants, on a pathway for home ownership.
Mr. Carnegie, you spoke about affordable housing, but currently what we are seeing is not affordable. Shouldn't it be low-income housing? Are we really going to get affordable housing?
No.
So are you going to make it real affordable housing?
Right. So here's the problem. The area median income, which is what judges affordability, is based on the Eastern Seaboard. So they factor in everything from Westchester to Long Island. My plan is to find a way to regionalize AMIs so that the AMIs actually are reflective of what the area median income is.
Exactly.
So that's the problem right there. So you have Westchester where the area median income could be 200,000, or $300,000 and other places, they factor all of that in and take the average. Mm-hmm. So consequently, the AMIs are higher and not reflective of the communities that they serve in. So we have to look at reforming the AMIs and making them a regional AMI. But I'm also careful to do that, because what will happen there is communities that should also be responsible for having the middle class in them, if the AMI is reflective of where they live, then what we'll do is create a city that's not accessible to everyone, and we'll create pockets again. So you have to be careful with just regionalizing the AMI. So I want to really study that and find a way that it works both for a true affordability, but it also doesn't allow people to insulate their communities from a different class of people.
So how can one support your candidacy?
So I'm on every social media platform at RC4BK. So that's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're very active on those social media platforms.
Thank you very much, sir, for sharing your plans on responsible development for our communities.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.